So we want to continue into the next section of Philippians 1. In our first session, part one, we talked about the heart of a disciple maker, and then that was verses 1 to 11. Then verses 12 to 18, we talked about the faith of a disciple maker, talked about Paul's spirit of faith, and then this last section, verses 19 to 26, the focus and fire of a disciple maker. So let's look at verse 19. Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will in no way be disappointed, but with all boldness, as always, so also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." From a human point of view, things look pretty grim, pretty difficult for Paul. It seemed like everything was against him, but Paul was confident that God would fulfill his purposes in his life. He had a spirit of faith. And in these verses, Paul explains his perspective on life and death. These verses make clear the focus of his life and the fire, the passion that motivated him to live like he did. So what was Paul's passion and desire? It was to know Christ and to make him known. He wanted Christ to be glorified and magnified through him, whether it was by remaining alive or by his death. And this should also be our focus. Paul's burning desire was that Christ would live in him and be exalted and revealed through him. And he says that he was confident that supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ would continue to flow to him so that this would happen. You see, God has an amazing plan for every believer, which was the same as his plan for Paul, and that is to reveal his Son, Jesus, in us and through us. That is his purpose and his plan for each one of us. God the Father is determined to exalt his Son Jesus in you and in me. This is the goal of discipleship, not just teaching a set of principles or involving a person in ministry. God wants to reveal Christ in you and in me. Many times people have made the mistake of thinking that God's glory is revealed through causes or projects or buildings or meetings or ministries. But God is not magnified and exalted by these. He is exalted in the lives of people who follow him, who trust him, and who love him. He lives in them and reveals his glory and his life through him. When Paul was in Athens, he stood on Mars Hill and talked about the God who created everything, the Lord of heaven and earth. And he said he doesn't live in temples built with human hands. See, God doesn't dwell in buildings. In fact, God doesn't even dwell in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, but he is magnified and exalted and glorified in the lives of people he transforms by his Word through the Spirit of God. The goal of the scripture is not knowledge, but Christ living in us. Jesus promised that he would dwell in those who believe in him. And this is the great truth that is the key to the Christian life. Christ lives in us. Paul challenged the believers in Corinth again and again. He said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" See, our body is the temple of God, the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. He wants to indwell us and live in us and through us individually and corporately. This is God's plan for revealing his love and his grace and the gospel to the world by Christ living in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says it well. Paul said, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." You see, we're just like a jar or a clear plastic bottle. Nothing special about us. We're ordinary people. But it says we have a treasure in us. The treasure is Christ. The Spirit of God lives within us. How great is that treasure? So our goal and focus shouldn't be on polishing the body and painting it so that we can somehow boast my bottle is better than your bottle, or to somehow to think that my bottle is great. Our goal is to reveal the treasure, to reveal the living Christ who is shining and will reveal his love and his glory and his life and his power through each one of us individually, but also through us corporately as the body of Christ. This is how Christ can be exalted in our body, by his living presence dwelling in us as we walk by faith in him. Paul said in verse 21, a very short verse, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, Christianity is a person, Jesus himself. He is the goal of discipleship. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul talks about this great mystery that had been revealed. He says that this is the mystery: Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God designed us to live in his glory, in his presence, shining with his life and living in his joy. But because of sin, we lost that life of living in God's presence and experiencing his glory. But Christ came and redeemed us, forgave our sins, restored us to relationship with God, so that we could live according to that original design in the glory of God. He himself, Christ, is the hope of glory in experiencing that life God planned us to live in. And Paul says in verse 28, he is the one we proclaim. Christ is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. This is the goal of discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus means to live Christ, to live in Christ, to have Christ living in us. This was Paul's entire focus for his own life and for in his discipleship and teaching to others. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Another verse that's a very core part of Paul's thinking and philosophy is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." These two verses summarize Paul's core beliefs, goals, and passion. This was the fire that burned in him. This was the focus of his life and the focus of his teaching. And he was not afraid of death. See, Christianity is faith in the living Christ. It is fellowship with Jesus himself, and it is following him in our everyday life, day by day. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus, follows Jesus, learns from Jesus, and who is becoming like Jesus. This is the most important thing in our lives, to know the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. Christianity cannot be imitation. It has to be impartation. We're not trying to just be like Christ, to imitate his kindness or his words, but we must have an impartation of his life and of his heart and of his mind, because we can't be righteous in our own efforts by trying to be like him. We must have his life. The Christian life is all about Jesus living in us so that he can be exalted and glorified and revealed through us. Paul said, if I go, in verse 22, if I am to go on living in this body, it will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And see, Paul really believed what he said, to die is gain. This is the perspective we should all have. It's actually way better for us to be with the Lord, to be in his presence where there's fullness of joy, than to remain in this body. There are many benefits to death for those who believe in Jesus. We will be free from the evil of this world. It says when we see him, we'll become like him, for we'll see him face to face. We'll live with him in his presence, in fellowship with him forever and ever. And there'll be no more death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. See, we won't face eternal death, but we have eternal life. And when we depart from this body, we will immediately be present with the Lord. And for all eternity, we'll be with him where there's no more sickness, no more pain, suffering, or death. See, this is true. And so when I die, if you want to mourn and wear black clothes and walk through the mud, whatever, but I hope you wear Hawaiian shirts, put on some country Christian music or bluegrass or something fun, and just say, wow, it's so wonderful. He is with the Lord. I have an elderly friend passed on to be with the Lord, Mr. Swanson. I used to always talk to him in the summer when we were at Lake Nojiti. And one time I met him and I asked, well, how is your wife? And he just said, she's just fine. And we kept on talking and parted ways. And I didn't know that she had died. She had went on to be with the Lord. But he said, she's just fine, because that was his conviction. He wasn't concerned or doubting. He knew that she was with the Lord, and she's more than just fine. See, this is our faith. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe, that we don't mourn as people in the world. Yes, there's a sadness, a mourning, but hey, this life is temporary, and we know we have a living hope, and we will be with the Lord. Those who die and go on will be with the Lord, and they'll be with him forever and ever, and we will meet them again. And so Paul went on in verse 24 to say, well, it's more necessary for you that I remain here in this body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound on account of me. What was he saying? He said, well, I think I'm going to remain here for a while in this body, and I want you to help and grow in Christ. And he emphasized your joy in the faith. This is a theme throughout the scripture. There's a relationship between rejoicing and joy and our faith. It says in James chapter 1, verse 2, I believe, when you face trials and difficulties of many kinds, count it all joy, because we believe. See, we believe God is maturing us and working in our lives, and many other verses that talk about this aspect of joy in our faith. Paul's heart was to serve and care and bless his disciples, and wanted them to grow to full maturity in their faith in Christ. And he wanted them to know the joy in faith, as he mentioned, so that they would boast in Jesus. And he wanted them to know Christ, to love Christ, and be consumed with Christ, so that they could say, as with him, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, this is discipleship. We must set an example and model everything we want our disciples to do, even in death. The most important thing that we can model and transfer to others is Christ living in us, that they may see the life of Christ in us, that they may see our faith in him and understand that as we trust him and walk with him, that he fills us with his spirit, fills us with his love, and he reveals himself through us. This has to be more than theology or just Bible teaching. They must see the life of Christ within us. This was Paul's focus. This was the fire that burned within him and drove him to risk his life and to devote everything he had to knowing Christ and making him known. He wanted to know Christ and to experience his indwelling presence and pass that same fire on to disciples, the disciples in Philippi. So let's pray together. Jesus, you are our life. We rejoice in you and ask that you would give us a spirit of faith to rejoice in trials, but to have this faith for eternity and faith that you are our life, and you indwell us, and you will impart your love and your grace and your life and your words to us and through us. And may we say in faith every day, Christ lives in me. You are my life. And may we reproduce your life in our friends and brothers and sisters that we are sharing with and walking with. We pray, Lord, in your name. And now I know we've covered a lot of information, but I just want to conclude with one more thought. And that is to encourage you to walk in love. And why do I bring this up? Well, I think sometimes we can become preoccupied and even satisfied with Bible knowledge, which is important, but that's not the goal. When all is said and done, knowing the Bible should result in the life of Christ being revealed through us in loving others, because that is his main commandment. Jesus said, this is my command, love one another as I have loved you. And I could give you many verses, but just one, Matthew 7:12, he said, do to others what you would have them do to you. See, this is loving people. It's serving others, focusing on others, meeting their needs. He says, this sums up the law and the prophets. Essentially, this means if we love others, we'll be fulfilling everything God commanded us to do in the law. We can have a lot of Bible knowledge and not work that out in our lives in a way that is practically loving and serving others. And if we do that, we're missing the point. The main way Jesus, living in us, will express himself through us is by loving the people around us. So as we share in our groups of 2 and 3, I encourage you to consider these 2 questions at the end of your time together, or, well, any time during your time together. How have I loved others this past week? And how can I love others in the coming week through Christ who lives in me? So I want to challenge you that as we study the Bible and as we learn things that I hope are a blessing to all of you, that we would bring this back into a practical focus on expressing the love of Christ daily to those who are around us. Many blessings. God bless you.